So I want to talk a little bit about Psalms broadly speaking, and then we're going to get into Psalm 100 specifically. So as you look through the book of the Psalms are often regarded as like the hymn book of the Bible, but they're more than just hymns. They're prayers. And they're prayers that come from a variety of different contexts and emotions as you read through them. And when you read through Psalms, you can have a bunch of different reactions. And sometimes it depends on where you are in life and how you react to something. And so what I mean by that, for instance, is you could pray, what's the most popular psalm in our culture? Yeah, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leads me beside still waters. And it's this really nice, pretty psalm. Now, it's possible to read that one day when you're doing really well and to feel that calm and to feel that guiding hand of your shepherd. But it's also possible to read that and maybe you're in a situation of extreme want and poverty. For instance, if you were maybe a refugee living in a refugee camp and you said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, but I do want. I'm worried about whether or not I'm going to be able to survive this week. Then the psalm's going to hit you differently. And so when you read a psalm, the context in which you read it changes, but also the context in which the psalm is written is sometimes betrayed by that. And the reason why I talk about all this is that Psalm 100 is a psalm that is, by and large, the way that you read it, it comes across as a psalm that's been written in a really nice place, that the psalmist who's writing this is experiencing the good things that God has for him. And so he's celebrating what God has given, but ultimately what he's really celebrating is the steadfast love that God has shown to the psalmist and that the psalmist is getting to experience and enjoy. And so our psalm today is really a jubilant psalm, that it's praising God, it's celebrating and shouting it from the rooftops. Nothing's wrong, and there's no past crisis that's mentioned. That the context of this psalm is pretty happy overall. And verse 4 says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. That what the psalm ultimately does is it actually ends with this kind of call to action idea. It says, I'm praising God. Now the whole community gets to praise God. And so it's specifically saying to us today, even as we read it, give praise to God. Praise his name. And this begs the question, well, what does that mean? What does it look like to praise our God? What is this psalm really calling us to do? And it's important that we actually linger on things like this, because it might be easy to give snap answers, like, well, I know what praise is. I could define that. But it's not that easy to define some terms. And as we start to push it into our culture and the way that we see our lives today, we see how big these questions really get. And so how do we praise God? Praise is giving glory to God, right? Does that sound like a good answer? Giving glory to God. That praise is giving glory to God. And the psalm does some examples of that. Verse 1, make a joyful noise. We do that in church, right? We come together and we make a joyful noise. I don't make a joyful noise. I sound awful. But some of you sound much better than me, right? That we come together and we sing. And don't come up after me and be like, no, you're a great singer. I should never, ever be microphoned, ever. My wife told me that even. So make a joyful noise. Come into his presence with singing, right? That this is a great example of what it is to praise God. What we're doing right now is praising God, or maybe singing in your car as you drive, as long as you're still watching out for pedestrians, right? And we give thanks not just in general that there is a God, right? We're never giving thanks to God in abstraction. We're never praising him in this, like, this ideal of God, but we're actually praising God for what he has done. Verse 3, it is he who made us. That the psalmist praises God, not just because he's God, but because he's the God who created and loved, who created not just us, his people that he's called in grace, but created all people and created them in his image and calls us to live as a whole society, as a world. Verse 5, the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever. That this is a recognition that God is the Savior of the psalmist, and he's our Savior. That idea of steadfast love, this is a great Hebrew word. I know I've made you say it before. I'm going to make you say it again. Chesed. Okay, everyone say chesed. You got to get the phlegm going. Chesed. That's good. You don't need to know that. I just think it's fun to have all of you making phlegm sounds at me. That's all. But it's a very specific word. And the reason why I'm lingering on it is that it gets translated in a bunch of different ways. Steadfast love, covenant love, enduring faithfulness. Like, it can be translated a bunch of different ways. And the reason why it gets translated so many different ways is that it's a really big concept that doesn't easily come into English. That the covenant love of God, the steadfast love of God, that is most personified in Christ. That while we were still enemies to God, Christ came and he died for us. Not because of what we had done, but because of his promises. That there are times when God wants to end everyone and everything. And he doesn't because of the promise that he's made. Because of the covenant that he has made with his creation. And so this steadfast love is the reason why we give thanks to God. We give thanks to God not only because he created us in all things, because he gives us the good gifts that we have in this creation, but because he gives us salvation entirely through his promise. And so praising God is giving thanks to him, that singing that praise to him, giving glory to God. And yet, this isn't a very good definition. At least it's not a big enough definition for praising God. Praising God, if it's just limited to giving glory to God, is too small. Does God need your praise? Does God need your glory? No, he's fine. He's totally fine on his own. He doesn't need us, which is somewhat of an anxiety-inducing phrase to say. But he doesn't need you, and he doesn't need your love, and he doesn't need your worship. And so this doesn't do anything for God, and it doesn't do anything for us or for anyone else if we limit the idea of praising God to just giving God glory. And so praise is more than just an outward sign. But praise is also something that is shaping the posture of our hearts. That praise is something that we do not only to give thanks to God and to give him glory, but also when we give praise to God, it has an impact on us as his followers, that it shapes us. And so praise gives glory to God, and it shapes who we are as Christians. As we glorify God for what he has done, it impacts us. Verse 3, know that Yahweh, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. That this psalm actually pushes toward the Torah, those first five books of the Bible, and toward this bigger concept. Not toward the law or the Ten Commandments, remember, because we should always call those the Ten Words. It really stresses the first word, that it's not just about giving glory to God, it's a recognition that God is above all, that we should fear, love, and trust in God above all things, that our entire life is to be grounded in the love that God has given to us, that we don't just give glory to God, but as we give him glory, as we praise him, it changes the way we think about ourselves, that we see ourselves as wholly dependent on God, the sheep of his pasture, because he made us and he claimed us as his people, that an understanding of who God is and the love he has automatically impacts the way that we see ourselves, that we see ourselves not only as God's beloved children on those days when it's rough, but on those days where we think we know the right things to do and we want to make the decisions and we want to call the shots, that then too we remember that we are his and he made us and he calls us to more than that. And so giving praise should actually shape the way that we think about God, and it shapes us to think about that first word, to be grounded in the love that God has for us. And yet even here, this type of praise that gives glory to God and shapes our own hearts is still too small of an answer. Because now praise, yeah, it's about God and it's about me, but this answer to praise is only about God and me. And it's too narrow if we think about it that way. Because this psalm calls us to an awareness of the rest of creation. That as we come into the presence of God, it's not just me and God. That we love in our culture to talk about a personal savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus is not your personal savior. Yes, he has made himself known to you personally and individually, but he makes himself known to you in a greater context, in the context of his church and in the context of this world that Christ loves, that Christ has died for, of all people who are made in God's image and that God is calling us to. And so if we're only giving glory to God and shaping our own hearts, where is the rest of creation? If the greatest commandment is not just love God, but is also love neighbor, then where is the neighbor piece as we think about praising God. And so this brings us to, I think, a more robust answer, that praise ultimately is giving glory to God, being shaped in our hearts, and witnessing to who God is. Witnessing. That praise is ultimately an act of witnessing to the world of who God is and what God has done. And so when we witness to God, when we witness as an act of praise, we witness to God, that we do sing and we give him that praise and we give him that glory, that we witness to ourselves, that we remember who we are, that as we lift this up, it's actually an act of remembering and reenacting the love that God has for us each time we praise him. And that we also witness for the sake of our neighbor. Verse 1, make a joyful noise to Yahweh, all the earth. Does all the earth sing the praises of our God? No. And the only way they're going to is if we actually get up off of our duffs, go out into the world, and praise God. If our praise and our celebration and our Christianity is limited to these pews, then the world's not going to know about the great grace of our God, and they're not going to know to make a joyful noise to Yahweh. That verse 2 says, serve Yahweh with gladness. That it, again, it calls us immediately into a posture not just of singing, not just of having our own lives influenced, but of service. That praise is something that calls us out. That when we love God and love neighbor, a different way and maybe a more helpful way of saying that is love God by loving your neighbor. That our act of loving our neighbor is a way that we bring love to or show our love for God. Verse 5, the Lord is good, his steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. That it's a witness that we do not only to God and to ourselves, but we witness to our community. That we have a responsibility to praise God as a witness, that the children who are in this room will continue to praise God as they grow up, that all generations will have the opportunity to praise God and to hear of his great love. And so we witness through singing and worship, by reading scripture together, those chances when we meet together outside of this space, and whether or not we're talking about the latest movie we saw or the book we read, or we're explicitly talking about what Christ is up to, that's a wonderful way of witnessing and bringing Christ to one another, and through our prayers. That these activities do shape the posture of our heart, but ultimately they shape our heart and push it outward. That we would show that love that we have for God as we love his creation. And so how do we live toward creation? How do we live toward others? That this praise, this call to praising God, is always a call not just to give glory to God, not just to shape our own hearts, but to think about how we act and behave in the world. And so praise does this amazing thing that it recommits ourselves to God and his mission. When we praise God, we're committing ourselves to the work of God and his creation. But also when we praise God, we reveal God to our neighbors whom we love. And so brothers and sisters in Christ, praise God this week. Give glory to him. Shape your hearts that you would be conformed to his mission, and ultimately share that love of God to others as your act of praise. Amen.